Welcome to another edition of You Can Farm Talks. This is a live video podcast series where we talk with people in the agriculture industry who share important and relevant information and insights for new and beginning farmers and ranchers. These are short and focused conversations that generally last about 20 to 30 minutes. First, we ask our guests to share their story in agriculture, and then we ask them to talk about one thing that they think someone getting started in agriculture needs to know. For those of you tuning in to the live Zoom feed, we hope you'll submit questions in the chat window. As we get to the end, I'll try to pick out a question to ask our guests. All of these shows are recorded and posted online on our webpage, where you'll also find an online discussion forum. You can ask questions in the forum anytime, and we'll respond to additional questions there that we don't get to during the live episode. Our guest today is Robbie Alexander. Robbie is the Young and Beginning Relationship Loan Officer for Farm Credit Services of America. In this role, he serves Wyoming and the panhandle of Nebraska, seeking ways to help both generational and first-time farmers and ranchers reach their dreams of being involved in agriculture. Robbie and his wife, Annie, are also first-generation agriculturalists that moved to Wyoming in 2022. Original from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, Robbie has worked in agriculture education and agricultural finance for the last 15 years. Robbie has a bachelor's and master's degree in agricultural science from Murray State University. While working off the farm, Robbie and his wife are working to build their own cattle operation so that the next generation can expand this operation to meet their needs. Robbie, we always start off this conversation by giving our guests a chance to talk about their own story in agriculture. I know you've worked in ag education and finance after earning your degrees in ag science. Please tell us a bit about your background, how you got to this point in your life and career, and maybe talk a little bit more about how and why you've chosen to become directly involved in ag, as well as encouraging and mentoring other beginning farmers.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I am excited to be here. Man, that's a heck of an introduction there. It makes me sound better than I actually am, and I appreciate that. So I'll take that and run with it. But my story is similar to a lot of people's. Generational back, yeah, we had people in our family that were in agriculture, and over the years, they got out of it for various reasons. You can hear about the 80s farm crisis, and that took some generations back, and I always loved agriculture, and I loved working in agriculture, but it's a series of happy accidents, I tell you, that brought me everything here. Working on a row crop farm growing up, at one point I despised it and hated it, and now I loved it, and I've always loved cattle and horses and things like that, but always working for somebody else along the way, and never thought, man, that could be my own option to work. And the only option I knew to make money and put food on the table was to go to college and get an education and work off farm. Now, since then, and being involved in the role I'm at today, I've definitely learned some key takeaways that if I would have known when I was starting out that I may be a full-time farmer rancher today. So it's an interesting series of events, but it's always been related back to agriculture. And the only reason I'm where I'm at today is because of the lessons I learned on the farm and ranch, putting in the hard work, putting in the hours, and being willing to talk to people on top of that.
Could you tell us a little bit more about what your role there at Farm Credit Services entails and kind of your day-to-day there?
Yeah, so Farm Credit is a cooperative company. We're owned by the people that borrow money from us, and our direction come from a board of directors that is made up of the people that are members of the cooperative. And a couple of years back, they decided we want to have a young and beginning farm lending up program. So they hired myself and 16 others across our footprint, which is about four states, and said, we're going to give you some special tools to help young and beginning farm and ranchers get started. So I spend every day not only working on loans for young beginning farm and ranchers, but counseling through their finances and developing some some education pieces to be sure that they understand what we're talking about. And it's not just a one-way conversation. You know, coming in and into my office and sitting down, if you've never done that before, can be a little intimidating. I know that from getting my first loans and what that looks like. And you feel like you're asking the world to do something for you that they just don't do for everybody else. But that's what we were designed to do, to break down some of those barriers, to make it an easier conversation and not only be a lender, but be a person that is on your team wanting you to succeed. And the other flip side of that, they said, hey, Robbie, be sure you don't have a whole lot of people that you work with so you can provide one-on-one information and time with each of the people I work with. So every day I'm either on the ranch, at the farm, or in direct conversation with the people that are got their boots on the ground.
That sounds great. And that's, I really appreciate that. That's something that Farm Credit Services is looking at and has done, because the whole financing side has changed so much over the last, for a long time now. And when I first started, why it was the local banker that had known everybody, and there was that kind of service. So that's great. We've talked about it a little bit, but the main purpose of this is to ask you, our guest, to share something we call their one thing. In other words, we want you to talk about one thing that we think new and beginning farmers really need to know, or keep in mind, be thinking about, or be doing as they're in the beginning stages and getting ready to take on their own challenge of starting an agriculture operation. I know you have some thoughts to share with us and our audience of ag entrepreneurs about just get started and the three items you consider essential in just getting started. So, Robbie, please tell us about the one thing that you want to share with our new and beginning producer audience today.
Yeah, well, you called it out and sent that in, and it is just getting started. You know, we sit here in agriculture and we think, oh my gosh, that is a mountain to climb. And we get started a lot of time, or we start comparing ourselves being in our chapter one to somebody's chapter 10. And we start to think, we can't do that. We talk ourselves out of getting started before we ever do. And we don't do anything. And I say that for myself. I'm going to tell you, first off, I learned this mistake the hard way. I'm guilty of it. And I went out and seek the advice from people I thought knew that didn't, stop my own self from getting started. And I see this happen in producers every day. They just don't get started. And to get started, you have to do a few different things. You have to get the education, you have to build a team around you, and you have to build some mentors around you to help you do that. So some things that I see people that stop themselves from getting started is, number one, talking themselves out of it before they ever get started. So kind of going back to my own journey, I have some acreage there in Kentucky that I'm going to sell and move out here to Wyoming and keep developing the small herd that we developed out there. Well, I had a lot of happy accidents. Like I said, I got out here and the first thing I did was started doing my research on what is available to do that. What does land cost look like? Who can you seek to find a mentor? Well, the great thing about moving out to Wyoming compared to where I was is I couldn't rely on the same people I had to always did, because I just knew them. I had to seek those opportunities out myself. Other places I see people not get started is seeking the information they want before making any moves, not finding out land values, not putting pencil to paper, not saying, making a cash flow projection in the first place, not taking their balance sheet day one and moving it to a point to say, hey, am I measuring my own personal success? Am I taking control of my own financial success, or am I just letting finances happen to me? You know, building a budget, however it is, just not doing any of that. So that's probably the biggest things that I start to see. And we can break that down however much you want to. And I'm glad to talk about that all I can. But I there's such a broad topic there. I don't want to talk in circles. So I'm going to let you kind of direct me in that direction you want to go.
Well, you can certainly expand on that just a little bit, and then feel free to move on to, and they're all connected, gathering information, building a plan, and building advisors. So if you want to expand on that a little bit, that'd be great, Robbie.
Okay. So let's talk about building a plan. The hard part when we talk about anything, getting an agriculture or taking over a generational operation is saying, oh, we need to wait. Oh, I need to wait for this. I want to wait for the cattle market to go down. I want to wait for the cattle market to go up. I want to wait for land prices to decrease, or I want for wait for land prices to go down. We have a million reasons to talk ourselves into waiting, that we don't start making those moves that can start providing our own security for financial situation. So let's use getting started on buying land. Land is expensive. Land does not seem to be going down. And that is one thing that I see people talk themselves out of getting involved in agriculture a lot, because they're saying, oh, the land or the capital purchases are just too big. So, you know, what I would say, if you want to buy land, you have to explore everything out there that can help you do that. One of the biggest things I see stop people from making that first investment in land is not doing the legwork and the paperwork that can get them all the breaks they can. And I'm going to use FSA for an example. The FSA application, is a great place, or the FSA office, Farm Service Agency, that's affiliated with the government, is a great place to start getting those loans. It is a great place to get cheaper financing, and what they will do, riskier loans, especially when you're beginning, that other places may not offer. Now, with that, and I'm step out of bounds here just a little bit, don't hit me over the head, but FSA is the government. They don't operate fast. They don't operate quick. And there's some things in there that's going to take some time and some headache. But a lot of us in agriculture are willing to go buy a lower piece of ground and put in the sweat equity to build new fences, to repair that old barn, to help get the old corrals in better shape and work with what we got. But we start talking about paperwork and we get scared of it. And you can do a lot of that sweat equity with paperwork. When we start talking about interest rates today, and I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, but on this land, you know, today, if you go out and get a land loan, it may be 7.5% to 9%, depending on your credit stand quality that you have in your own life, your credit score and things like that. FSA today is below 6%. That's thousands of dollars of savings. You know, they have a credit limit of $600,000. Well, even if you're going to take over your own family operation and you know one day you're going to inherit a bunch of land, you can't save money as fast as land is appreciating day in and day out. So why not go ahead and put yourself in a position to buy a piece of land, even if it's not the one you want for the rest of your life, that you can move that into something else, sell it, and move it into the piece of land that you want. Just get started doing something. You cannot wait for success to find you. And that's what I see people doing with land purchases all the time. I'll use buying cattle as the same experience. People keep going, oh, I don't have anywhere to put my cows. I don't have anywhere for this or that. There is a lot of farm and ranchers out there that need a lot of help. Now, if you don't get hung up on what you make an hour and go in and say, hey, I'm willing to work for you for so many years, if you don't mind me running two or three cows this year, you don't have to give me a raise next year. Let me run two or three the next year. Build your own herd on somebody else's grass and you're putting in the sweat equity, but have a plan. So you got to get started. Quit giving everybody excuses. And that can be whether it's your own family operation or somebody else's, or you're a first generational farmer, a rancher. See what that is. See what those experiences could be. But the name of the financing game a lot of time is building that equity. So I see a lot of people just let that kind of pass by. Going back to starting the plan, a lot of your plan has to come from paperwork. You cannot just let it pass by. You need to understand in today's modern society how your finances work, how interest rates work, how hedging works, how crop insurance work. You know, these new programs we have for cattle production, LRP, how that works and how all that can tie in. Sign up for every single thing, every single class you can, because a lot of it's online, such as this platform right here, and develop that information base. Because I promise, as you develop, it makes the implementation easier. We all pay for the lessons we have. You can pay for it with your time, or you can pay for it with money. I personally rather pay for it with my time and save my money in the long run.
You mentioned the Farm Credit Service offers some programs that are in place to assist beginning farmers and ranchers hit the ground running. Can you describe those briefly for our viewers without too much detail?
Yeah. So one program that we do is all through the YBS. We do a couple different things. Is we provide education resources. So we put on a big conference there in Omaha for the people in our program currently to come in and meet other producers. And the advantage to that is it's not necessarily a next door neighbor. And, you know, some people get a little protective about the information, their own operation with the neighbor. They don't want to give away one of their secrets or a ranch that they could rent or that they're interested in buying something. So you can talk to somebody a few miles away and be a little bit more open. That's definitely good. We offer some lower interest rates for our young and beginning producers to help get them started. We offer some ways to reduce the amount of collateral you would need to get a farm or ranch bought. So you can keep a little bit more money from that cash down payment in your pocket and use that to preserve your working capital. And we also team up with FSA a lot. You know, they've got a great 50-50 program where they will lend up to $600,000 on part of a farm. We'll and ranch will lend up some more on that. And it helps if you average those two interest rates together, it makes it a lot more competitive. And those interest rates, that's such a hot button topic. We could talk about those for hours and hours. That is a new world that we're living in. As we were chatting right before this started, you know, I've been in this game for almost 15 years and I'm mid in my career. I talk to people at the end of their career and they keep saying, oh, these interest rates aren't nothing. Wait until they get to the double digits. But I'm 40. So for anybody starting and anybody younger than me, we've never seen interest rates this high in our lifetime. So it is new to us, along with land prices being as high as they are.
That's sure true. And I've told this story once before, but I say back when I went through my dad's estate, an operating note that was at 19% and variable. So that makes nine look not so bad. you mentioned some of those programs. Where would you suggest to go online if someone were wanting to research some of the things that are available at FSA?
So what I would do, you can type in just FSA government programs and they'll come up. I'm not an FSA expert by any means. I am an advocate of what they offer. But I would tell you to skip over that online unless you really want to, and just call and start the conversations. You start conversations with anybody and everybody you can, because you have a golden ticket when you say, I'm a young producer or I'm a beginning producer. People want to talk to you. You call the FSA office and say, what do I need to do to get my ducks in a row? Take your time out, set up an appointment. Now, on the flip side, for the program that we offer, call the Farm Credit Office and tell them, call your local bank and tell them, this is what I want to do. And not only that, call everybody that you possibly can. Call the stockyard and say, I'm thinking about doing this. What advice do you have? Call your seed salesman, your hay salesman, anybody that you can possibly find, call and bother them. Write down notes, record the conversation, tell them you're going to. That goes back to just get started, have every bit of information you can. And you make your own management decisions. One of the biggest mistakes I ever made is just listening to one person and thinking they knew it all when I should have been calling a lot more people.
With that, I think this is probably my last question, but where would you go to search out those mentors that we talked about a little bit, those advisors? Because I think that's very valuable for folks to find that across a multitude of discipline and ages.
So go to those places we talked about, the feed barn, the sale barn, wherever, and just look around and say, you know, if you were starting from day one, who would you ask for advice? And they'll point across that room and say, that guy over there, that lady over there, that banker over there, that insurance person over there, that financial advisor over there, and go talk to that person and don't be scared to do it. I promise they want to talk to you. So I'm going to use my own role as an example, and I think I'm pretty approachable person. I've got people that walk in my desk and go, I'm just, you can tell they're intimidated to talk to me. Well, I'm going to tell you, you are the person everybody in the world wants to talk to. You've got to see the value in yourself when you're talking to those people. And remember the people that are willing to talk to you. You know, I'll tell you as a Farm Credit employee, you know, my job is at the end of the day to put on new loans and advise young and beginning farmers and ranchers. That makes you somebody I want to talk to, and you have to approach it that way. Now, don't be so arrogant that you're not willing to learn. But from that first conversation, I tell anybody I deal with, whether you do business with me or not, I want to help you get started. I know some sale barn managers that every day they say the same thing. You do business with me or not, that's not important. I need more people in the cattle industry. Grain buyers, whether you do business with me or not, I need more people in the grain industry. It's just getting started. A lot of us can do this. It may not be the size and scale that you think of your neighbor down the road, but find a way to get something going. If you can find a place to put one bred cow, that's one more than you had when you started, if you start from nothing. So just get started. Ask that one guy down the street. You may have to ask 30 people, but get somebody to say yes. The same thing with renting ground if you're in the grain operation. You may have to knock on every door. Rejection is okay, I promise. I had to get rejected by a lot of people before I found my beautiful, wonderful wife that is way out of my league. You'll learn from it and grow.
Robbie, thank you so much for talking with us today. We really appreciate your taking the time to share your insights and experiences for the benefit of new and beginning producers. Again, thanks so much for visiting with us this evening.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to do it. And I would tell you, anybody that wants to call and talk, whether you want to do business with me or anybody, heck, let's bounce some ideas, because I guarantee you I can learn as much from anybody on this call as they could possibly glean from any information that I try to throw out there for them.
That will do it for this episode of You Can Farm Talks. Thanks to those of you who took the time to join this live discussion and submit questions. The recording for this episode and all our previous episodes will be posted and archived on our website and on our YouTube page. If you have any more questions, or if you're watching the recorded episode and didn't get a chance to ask them, please feel free to send questions via email, or even better, by adding them to the online discussion forum. We will try to respond to as many questions as we can and share the answers online. Stay tuned for information about the next You Can Farm Talks conversation. We'll be sharing details about who our next guest will be and when the episode will take place soon. Check back on our You Can Farm website and Facebook page. Funding for this program has been provided by the USDA NEFA BFRDP program. We'd also like to thank Custom Ag Solutions, Right Risk, and especially our partners at University of Wyoming Extension. And we'd especially like to thank Robbie Alexander for joining us tonight. Thanks for listening to You Can Farm Talks.